Previously on Good Sex, Bad Sex.
At that time, I was probably more excited than scared, but there came a time later when I was like, what the fuck? Like, I'm just rearranging my entire life because I feel like I want to explore something. Is that coming from a place of like selfishness, of like really feeling like one dick is not enough? Or is that really something that I feel is essential to my personality and something yearning to be expressed?
Hello and welcome to Good Sex, Bad Sex, a podcast from metro.co.uk. It's a little bit like going to an all-girls school, but with a lot more experimentation. My name is Bibi Lynch, Lady of the World.
And I'm Miranda Kane, Lady of the Night.
Coming up,
we're chatting to Madeline Mason.
Date coaching involves helping singles with any struggles that they have along the route.
So, Bibi, what has been your experiences of casual sex?
I assume you're talking knitwear.
Casual vests.
And at-homes and slippers. I don't have sex. I think it's disgusting. casual sex. I think I can do it.
Yeah.
I can't do it.
You've just not been given the opportunity.
What do you mean?
Well, you need to find a willing volunteer to do it with you.
You need to find a willy.
A willing.
What's your favourite word for willy?
Willy. I quite like pee-pee stick.
Do you? Oh, isn't that lovely?
I heard pee-pee pole the other day.
Pee-pee pole.
Pee-pee pole.
Show off.
I know.
No, casual sex, I'm not very good at it. I think, so I found out recently honestly, the worst sex I ever had.
Yeah.
One night with the worst sex I ever had, and then I found out he's got engaged. I don't give a shit. It was the worst sex I ever had. But I'm still like, what? So I just get just attached. I'm not very good at it. You're good at it? You're okay with it?
Yeah. Well, I'm all right with it as long as, you know, there's a beginning, middle and an end. Well, all within 1 hour.
Well, and then that's
For a certain amount of money.
Do you do it? So if there's... in non-work terms, are you okay with casual sex?
I think I'm a bit trickier with it in non-work terms. Mm. I'm a lot more... trickier with it because I know what I want and I know what I like, and I think out there, because it's such a swamp in dating world, so I'm really interested to see what Madeline has to say and if there's any tips she can give us for dating.
I've bought pen and post-its. Got it covered.
I think good sex is when you feel really comfortable and great about yourself with someone.
I think bad sex is when you feel really deeply awkward and someone is like not being themselves.
What is casual sex?
It depends on how you define casual sex, as in, is it a one-night stand or is it a friends with benefits scenario? Because there's
So it's across a sticky board?
Yes, I think it is.
Do you think that term has changed throughout the years?
Probably. I think it means different things for different people. But I don't think you use casual sex normally, and you'd either kind of say friends with benefits or one night stands or a fling. I don't really...
So you'd never say me and you, mister.
Yeah,
we're about casual sex.
Yeah, no,
do you say casual or casual?
Casual.
Yeah, okay.
Casual.
How do you define casual sex?
I think it is tricky because you do have so many, like you said, like friends with benefits or one night stands. But that, yeah, I would go for that. I don't think there's ones these days where it is just like, oh, we're just having casual sex.
So it's basically just not ongoing. It's not something that's in a relationship.
I think the overall definition would be sex in a non-committed relationship, as in you're not in a relationship with somebody monogamously.
Do you think it's getting more prevalent these days? Like, when I think about the term casual sex when it's not in a relationship, I watch a lot of trashy TV, ladies.
Oh,
I know this is not going to come as a surprise, but to me, there seems to be this thing now on like Geordie Shore and Love Island where people work up to asking each other out if they want to have a relationship. And it seems so weird.
Well, they'll have the sex first, you mean?
Yeah. So they'll all be about the casual sex for a long time, and then it'll be like working up to saying, now we're in an exclusive relationship. So do you think that's becoming a lot more popularised?
Yeah, I think so. I think it reflects quite a lot of how we go about dating in general. Before it was, you know, you'd go to the cinema and then afterwards you'd go steady.
Yeah.
And then maybe you'd have sex.
Okay. Oh, so I've never. Have you ever done that order?
I can't remember. Who is great at casual sex? I don't mean names and postcodes, but who is, you know, is there a certain personality, style sign?
I think it's about personality for sure. So within psychology, you talk about the big five personality traits, and it's people who display a lot of extroversion and low conscientiousness. They're more likely to engage in casual sex.
So quickly tell us what the big five are and why would those people be more engaged?
Okay, so the big five is made up of agreeableness, extroversion, introversion, openness, neuroticism, and conscientiousness.
Oh, I'm number four. What are you? I think the
Have all five of them, but we have them in different degrees.
Oh, yeah. Okay. And so the good person at casual sex has...
Has high extroversion and low conscientiousness.
Yes. So they don't give a shit.
Yeah, I guess.
So they flash that. And they don't give a shit. They're non-giving shitting flashes.
I suppose caricaturally you could put it that way.
What do those characteristics, what do they mean in terms of how they can handle it?
From a personality perspective, it's just, so extroversion refers to somebody who needs a lot of input, social input, in order to get some energy, versus an introvert is somebody who's already highly, not strung, but the senses are already kind of, I don't know how to put it, but you don't need a lot of attention and then you kind of get overwhelmed, so that you prefer the library if you're an introvert because you're already wired up in your system, if that makes sense. Mm-hmm. So quite oddly, the extrovert doesn't have that. They kind of need people to be around them. So perhaps if you're thinking about in terms of sex, maybe there's just a greater need for a closeness.
Why do you think that is? There is the perception that we can't handle casual sex and we can't deal with hookups.
I think it's about some people. So casual sex, well, sex in general will elicit vasopressin, oxytocin, which are sort of hormones and neurotransmitters.
What's that
So vasopressin and oxytocin. Okay. So we've heard of serotonin, we've heard of dopamine. And these two, oxytocin and vasopressin, they are also part of the feel-good cocktail, if that makes sense. So if you fall in love, they will be there somewhere along, you know, bubbling under the surface. Yeah. Now they get released with orgasm, for example.
Write that down.
the typical scenario is, let's say you might meet somebody in a bar that you don't particularly fancy, but after sex, because you have these fuzzy feelings, you think, oh, well, maybe I do have feelings for this person. When in actual fact, it's just the cocktails of these neurotransmitters and hormones in your brains that are kind of making you feel good. And it's just because you had sex. So the danger is that you think that you're in love with somebody or have feelings for somebody, when in actual fact it's just by virtue of touch.
As my old friend Sam used to say, she'd get emotionally attached to a lump of wood if she slept with it long enough. And that's kind of the sex. Yeah. Splinters. Yeah. And emotionally attached.
Yeah.
You like that? I can absolutely understand the feeling. Like, I've had it before in casual relationship, casual sex, where you get that orgasm feeling when you think about that person. But certainly, like, not with anyone, you know, like clients or anything. It's not like I've come away going, oh my God, I'm so in love with him now. So that's interesting. So how did you do that then? How did you switch that off in your head? Because that's a natural release of hormones. So you can't control that. But how did you?
I mean, a sex relationship expert, how is there a reason why you think that would have happened? Like, if I'd had a relationship with someone that I'd met online and say we're talking for a bit longer, that's the kind of person who, if I have an orgasm with them, then I get the little lovey-dovey feelings. Yeah. But with clients who have paid me for sex, I can orgasm with them, but I'm not feeling the same way as I would.
Well, I think it's compartmentalized. So it's a business transaction as far as you're concerned, and it's still there. The buzz will still be there. Yeah. You just don't pay attention to it in the same degree.
Did you have favourite clients? No, but I mean, would that kind of fuzzy feeling be happening there? So there was some actually that did get through more.
Oh no, because a favourite client isn't about the orgasm. A favourite client is their minimum small talk. And are they done within 10 minutes so I can go home and get back to Buffy the Vampire Slayer? That is a favourite client.
That's so beautiful.
I know, thanks.
That's really beautiful. Do you think there's a difference between men and women? This compartmentalising is such a hard word to say. Because people assume that women are less able to handle casual sex.
I think the verdict's out, really. I don't think there's that many studies. In fact, I've tried to look for studies around it. the only thing I could find was that men will have feelings as well, so that they can't handle.
Oh,
they can't
Where's the study? Where's the proof of that?
Do they get the same amount of fuzzy hormones that we
That's the study that I'd like to find, because it's to what degree does somebody get that sort of fuzzy feeling or not? I mean, the layman sort of view is kind of that men can handle it better because you've got, you know, you've got pornography and you've got prostitution and that sort of thing. But it just still doesn't mean that they don't have feelings for those, you know, those people.
But
so
there's no way to tell how much
you can't quite measure it. Well, maybe you can, but I don't know if anybody's done it.
Yeah, just inject them. There must be a way.
Yeah,
just inject the men.
But it also means that women are able to compartmentalize. Yeah. So I think it's down to individual differences at the end of the day. I mean, some men don't like being promiscuous, just as some women don't like being promiscuous.
Yeah.
But perhaps men on the whole are more able to be than women are, if that makes sense, or have casual sex.
Do you think that's like online dating hasn't had an impact on that?
I don't think it has had any impact, either positively or negatively, if that makes sense, on casual sex. I think maybe perhaps it's easier to come by, like you say. And I think some people erroneously think, well, if I sleep with this person, then maybe they'll like me more. So it's got nothing to do with, it's like the reversal, isn't it? They're trying to get somebody. I'm not sure I'm answering the question.
You may be surprised to learn I'm not a doctor.
Surprises us every day.
Every day. And my patients. But the point I want to make is, I'm wondering if the fuzzy wuzzy that you talk about actually happens online now, because just through, like, you know, DMs, you DM someone in the kind of your dark bedroom at night, it feels intimate. And I'm wondering if you don't actually need the orgasm to release that. There's a mental thing going on. Sure. There's so much kind of foreplay now. Don't you think, online?
Yeah.
Do you think
you can,
that's...
You can do, yeah. And the thing is, the brain is a bit naughty in the sense that it fills in the gaps. So you'll pick up different bits of information about somebody, or they might say something in particular. But there's some things that you don't know, but your brain will fill in the gaps. So if you've got rose-tinted glasses on, then you're going to have rose-tinted gaps filled. And you think, oh, this is a really lovely person, and they're kind of tapping into something that's really important to you. And then all of a sudden you're off, you know.
They're tapping into many other people in an important way. Is casual sex good or bad?
Both. It depends on who you are, what circumstances you are. For example, you know, it can be good for somebody who's just gone through a breakup, for example, and maybe just need a bit of a rebound, some, you know, bit of loneliness. There's no right or wrong way, I'd say. I guess it just depends on your moral standards. If you're, you know, if you're hurting somebody or getting somebody's way in terms of their relationship with somebody else, that sort of thing.
So you are the director of and the dating expert at Passion Smiths. Yep. Tell us all about that. How did you get to become a dating expert?
Well, so my background is in psychology, and about 5 years ago, I attended loads of networking events and found that many people that attend those are single. And the moment you say that you're a psychologist, people open up and tell you the problems. And what I found was that the ladies and the gentlemen would say pretty much exactly the same thing. And I would kind of puzzled look at them and sort of say, well, everyone here is like more or less single. Just go and meet them, go
what
and talk to them. Well, there'll be things like, you know, there are no decent men out there, or all the women are looking for one thing, or they only want to get someone. Oh, they're not, I don't know. They had like these sort of, you know, typical, I guess, one-liners that people would complain about, gold diggers and time wasters and things like ghosting. So, you know, they'd start dating and then they'd, you know, you leave, you know, so I thought he was really interested in me, and then we had sex and then, you know, never hear from him again, and that sort of thing. And they just wanted to settle down. They just wanted to meet somebody. But everyone was saying they just wanted to meet somebody. And I was thinking, well, if you just wanted to meet somebody and you're a female, you just wanted to meet your male, what's stopping you from getting along? And so my curiosity in terms of this from a psychological perspective, I was thinking, well, why couldn't I create like a dateability test? Like, how dateable are you from a scale from 1 to 10? So I kind of like started dabbling in what that might look like, and sort of ventured into the world of date coaching.
What does date coaching involve?
Date coaching involves helping singles with any struggles that they have along the route. So how I see it is that there's almost like four or five kind of hoops or barriers that you have to get through before you get to a committed relationship. So one, meet someone. So some people will find it difficult.
Why can't get rid of their wife?
Where do
so
I
get
even
rid of their husband, their boyfriend?
Where do I even find people? Like, where do I find someone decent? The second one then is then go on a date, then go on a second date, then go on a couple of dates, and then have sort of the conversation about commitment. And people will have issues anywhere along that route. So some people will say, oh, I meet people all the time, or I go on tons of first dates, but I can never get a second date. Yeah. Or after about 3 or 4 dates, it always fizzles out. So, or when we get to the commitment relation bit, it doesn't really happen, or it just drags out. And so date coaching goes in, certainly from Passion Smith, goes in and helps people at each level kind of get over that. And it could be something within themselves. So typically people will have patterns that are self-sabotaging. For example, somebody might say, you know, I keep meeting people, but they're just always wrong for me, but I really want to settle down. And then when you sort of scratch the surface and dig a little bit deeper, they actually have a commitment issue.
Okay.
But they don't realize
it. The person themselves.
The person themselves, exactly. Oh. So they're manifesting people that aren't able to commit to them because they are struggling. That's one of the, like, I suppose, the more complex clients. And then there's others that are just simply kind of just happen to go down the wrong route and just have no idea how to start on their online profile, and then they write different things. I remember one client having written, you know, oh, I'm, you know, relaxed and fun, looking for, you know, a good time. And you can't write that if you're wanting a serious relationship. She goes, oh, why not? Because, you know, I just want to come across as fun and happy. I'm like, well, that will signal that you're wanting something more casual.
So do you do it as a one-on-one?
It's a one-on-one, yeah, exactly. And I can
show a lot of interest. I know. That's because I'm one of them that can't get past the first date.
with the commitment thing, see, I'm intrigued by this. Like, I mean, you said something earlier, and I went, oh God, that's, I think I've done that. The kind of casual sex, assuming it would turn into a relationship. If everything else is right, and you, but say it's a he, and say I'm a she, for instance. Say I want it to be a long term thing. He just wants a casual sex thing. But if everything else is in place and it's just that, that could change. Or is that? Do you have to be a fit at that level initially?
It can change, but to hope for it is a bad idea, because it's quite likely not to change. So the best idea, I think, is to always listen at the beginning what people are saying. So if somebody right up front says, or within the first 2 dates say, you know, they're not interested in something long term, listen to that.
Would anyone ever say that?
Yeah really
I've seen quite a few profiles saying, you know, oh, I'm
so
not.
I guess you have to kind of respect that then, don't you? They're kind of setting out their little.
Well, people
store.
Don't listen, really. So they'll be like, oh, but, you know, everything else is fine and everything's great and sex is fantastic. But you didn't listen to the very beginning where they said, I'm not really interested in something.
I think it's a miracle that people get together. I genuinely do.
It does.
I'm a very bright woman. No, I think it's a miracle. I don't know how it happens. How does it happen, Madeline Mason?
Apply your own medicine.
Are we allowed to say?
Yes.
So Madeline got married recently, applying her own rules, which are just be totally straight about what you want. Yeah. But I think that's, I mean, in a date situation, how scary would that be?
It's incredibly scary. By the time I realised that that's what you had to do, it, you know, it was a bit of trial and error involved. But after a 10-year relationship, I got divorced and realised after about, you know, 4 or 5 years of dating that actually I was being a bit of a commitment phobe, looking at the patterns of the people that I was dating. And it was at that realisation that I think, hang on a second, if I really wanted to find someone and settle down, I actually have to take myself seriously and go through the discomfort of some of those conversations, which are things like, I want to get married, I want to settle down, I want to have another child. And those conversations can be incredibly intimidating and uncomfortable when you're talking to a stranger. The odd thing is, though, that you're more likely to get a straight answer when you have that conversation early on, because nobody's got anything to lose.
So what's your top tips then for someone who wants to get into a relationship and someone who wants to get into more casual sex?
Just to be genuine, be okay with what it is that you want, and then ask for it.
For
it's
both.
Really as simple as that. Yeah, if you just want casual sex, be okay with wanting casual sex and then ask for it. Not, we'll not go around saying
hello. Hello.
Maybe I should take this t-shirt off that says I'd like some casual sex.
It's been offending me all afternoon. You do one-on-one training. Would you do a two-for-one for us?
I think because we both want very different things, it's going to be tricky.
Finally, what do you think is the kind of future of this kind of whole hookup culture that we've got going on? Do you think it's changing how we date and what we want? Because I think there is a lot of hooking up and casual sex.
I think it's complicating things. I mean, eventually I hope that people will get to the place of this authenticity that I sort of talk about, that they're able to be okay, because people start realizing that there's someone for everyone, if that makes sense. So if you can then start signaling, well, actually, I'm over here, I'm in the casual sex box, and I'm over here, I'm in the marriage box, and then sort of maybe that's simplifying it a little bit. At the moment, what happens is that people, A, don't really know what they want, and B, when they do know what they want, they don't really ask for it. They sort of do it in roundabout ways. So, for example, typically women won't say that they want to get married or settle down because they're afraid that, chase the guy away. Yeah. When in actual fact, how's the guy supposed to know, what you want? So at the moment, I think it's quite messy, which is why the date coaching is becoming really, really popular at the moment.
Good for you. Yeah. Messy for us, good for you. So, 2-for-1. Call me. Thanks very much to Madeline Mason. She's online, passionsmiths.com.
So what one-liners are you going to be trying at this weekend?
I'm not trying any one-liners. Do I have to?
You can give it a go.
Can't I just send a picture of my pups?
Of your pups? I think that's illegal.
Life's too short for words. What do you mean? Do you mean, am I going to try and pull someone this weekend?
Yeah. What did you learn from Madeline?
Oh, God, I know you think I'm this prude, right? And I think there's a place for casual sex, of course. And, of course, I've had a whole life of it. But
you just didn't know it at the time.
I didn't realise. I thought we were getting married. I thought, I'd bought the vol-au-vents. But I'd defrosted the vol-au-vents. But now I think I want something more. Yeah. So I'm going to learn from Madeline, which is, if you want casual sex, be out and proud about that. But if you don't, actually say to the poor man as he's sharing his knobby's nuts with you,
yeah,
I'm sorry, lovely, I want a ring. My name is Bebe Lynch.
And I'm Miranda Kane.
Good Sex, Bad Sex was produced by Sam Bonham.
Contact us on Twitter. Bebe, what's the Twitter?
At Good Sex, Bad Sex, XX. Until next time.